What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into another episode of the CUSA Insider Podcast, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Jonas, filling in for Sarah Rudolph. She unfortunately had to call in sick, but always happy to step in where I'm needed. But we've got a great episode coming up. Appreciate you joining us, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts on Spotify, Amazon, Apple Music, whatever it may be. We've got a great episode coming up today. We get a chance to talk to Justin McLeod, the associate editor for D1 Softball, talk a little ball, Conference USA softball as we get closer to the Conference USA tournament. And also, I'm joined by Associate Director of Communications, Eric Jones, to help me talk a little baseball, recap men's and women's tennis championships last week in Liberty. He was up there in Lynchburg getting to see all the action up there. So, Eric, thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again. And yeah, as Josh mentioned, it was a great week up in Lynchburg for the men's and women's tennis championships. It was actually our first year that we've had the tournament in a joint format. So I've been around men's tennis for the past 2 years, and I've only seen that. So it was awesome to see, you know, all of the schools from the women's side as well, as they have, you know, representation from all 10 schools here, and the men's this year will only have 5. But yeah, super fun week. So fun to see, you know, the women started earlier on Wednesday in the week, and, you know, just seeing those girls get after it was a great time. And, you know, I was really excited to watch FIU this week, just, you know, from their past success. And, you know, they turned out and went all the way again, and they got a little three-peat heading back down to Miami. You know, huge shout out to Coach Kat there from what she's done. She's been there for, I think, 13 or 14 seasons now. Very impressed with their ladies and how they, you know, approach the entire week. You could tell they, you know, they've been there, done that, and just wanted to go back for another championship. So very, very excited for them and what's next here next week for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and they're not the only dynasty there, because I know on the men's side, we had a six consecutive title for Middle Tennessee.
Right.
How good did the Blue Raiders look this week?
Yeah, just as good as they always do. I mean, they you may think it's maybe a little bit of a down year for them, you know, not ranked as high in the ITA rankings. They play a ridiculous schedule. Like, it is, you go scroll through that thing, I mean, it is Power 5 school after Power 5 school. And if they're not Power 5, they're ranked in the top 15 in the ITA. They travel the country. I think they ended the year with, like, a, you know, around 500 record, about 12-12. But it's just the quality of opponents they play, and they really get their guys ready. You know, Coach Jimmy Borndame does a tremendous job, awesome guy to be around. And you can tell those guys really rally around him. So was not all surprised how it all ended on the men's side. But, you know, there was some great competition too as well with, you know, Kennesaw State coming in as the 5 seed in the tournament, you know, the last seed, having to play in that play-in game, looked really good in that play-in game, and got to face Middle Tennessee and gave them a little bit more of a run for their money than most may have expected. But, you know, all in all, really good week, fun time in Lynchburg, and, you know, I'll be back in Lynchburg in a month for baseball. So I can go ahead and get me a second home there, might as well.
Yeah, yeah, you got the lay of the land already.
Oh, yeah.
But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I, you know, obviously Coach Jimmy, yeah, not afraid of a challenge with the schedule he had put together. Not surprised to see them come out on top once again. They'll be battle-tested, as you mentioned, with who all they've faced so far. What's next for both these teams in terms of NCAAs?
Yeah, yeah, so selection show. We got a week or so, but selection show will be next Monday, April 28th. And, you know, we'll be on the lookout, find out who they match up with, and see if any of our other teams can sneak in the field as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The championship looked great. Facility looked beautiful. The broadcast was awesome. Yeah. Really appreciate everyone who put in some really hard work, yourself included, for another successful championship. This week, we turn the page to men's golf and beach volleyball. We're recording this on Tuesday, the 22nd. Obviously, this will come out Thursday, the 24th. So men's golf will be towards the end. They'll be wrapping up today, Thursday, in Texarkana, Texas, with match play semifinals teeing off at 8 a.m. Central Time on ESPN+. And then later on, you can catch the finals at 1 p.m. Central, also on ESPN+. And I think, you know, again, we're recording this on Tuesday, but I think it's safe to assume Liberty will be in the mix after taking a healthy 8-stroke lead in round one. They shot 11 under par as a team.
It's impressive.
Yeah, impressive indeed. Josh Ryan shot, which I have an appreciation for that. My middle name is Ryan, hey, so I'm Josh Ryan Jonas. So shout out Josh Ryan for your success at the Men's Golf Championship. Shot 5-under 67 in round one. His teammate Ike Joy was in a tie for second at 4-under, so I'm sure the two of them will be playing a big part in the final day of men's golf. And then beach volleyball, they'll pick, you know, they'll take the torch on Thursday. Our producer extraordinaire back there, Dane, will be on hand for that one. They get underway Thursday. They wrap up Saturday, the 26th. So they'll already be underway when you're listening to this or watching this. Three teams will face elimination in day one action, all leading up to Saturday's championship match. You can catch all the matches Friday and Saturday on ESPN Plus as well. Like Sarah's mentioned on past episodes, if you don't already have an ESPN Plus subscription, you definitely need to get one so you can catch all the Conference USA championship action. Looking at the field here for beach volleyball, number 18, Florida Atlantic, they lead the way. They come in as the top seed, probably the favorite to win the title. But there's a couple teams right on their tail. Number 2 seed Tulane, number 3 seed FIU, also receiving votes in the latest ABCA beach poll. And Tulane was the one that knocked off both FIU and FAU on the way to last year's title match where they fell to TCU. So with TCU being gone now as an affiliate member, kind of opens the door for a new champion, which we always love in the conference office. So really excited to see how that one plays out. That one will be going on at Sugar Beach in Youngsville, Louisiana. Like I mentioned, the championship match will be on Saturday at 11 a.m. Central. On ESPN Plus, if I hadn't already said that enough, really want to make sure I plug how important and how awesome it is that we have all of our championship action available for the nation. But all right, so let's talk a little diamond sports, move to baseball and softball. Last time we talked, you know, the two of us were on here. I was joking that, you know, I was like, oh, I wanted to call us the Diamond Dogs, but La Tech has a hold on that one. So I don't know. I was trying to workshop a couple, I don't know, you know, backstop banter or there was another one I was thinking of. Maybe some, you know, diamond discourse. How about that?
I'm about it. Stick to the diamond.
Yeah.
I like it.
But on the baseball side, we'll start with baseball, move into softball, leading into our interview with Justin. Baseball, what's going on? I know we had a big series last weekend. We had another couple big series coming up in the next couple weekends as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a couple of teams on absolute heaters right now. You got a DBU team that's, you know, an established, you know, baseball powerhouse. They're winners of 9 straight. And I don't know if you kind of look at that as, you know, they're flying under the radar and winning all these games, but, you know, they got taken out of the rankings a few weeks ago and they immediately went up to Norman and, you know, like I think won 9-1 against the ranked, you know, top 15 Oklahoma team. And they've just been cruising ever since. So, yeah, like I said, winners of 9 straight. Keaton Grady, our hitter of the week this week. Good Lord.
I open, you know, we always talk on the phone or in the office when we're settling Player of the Week awards. And, you know, I opened it up and that first thing, you know, you see is Keaton Grady with a 765 batting
Something
average for the
crazy,
week.
Yeah.
And I was like, yep, him. Yep.
Yeah. 13 for 17 over the week, 5 doubles, a homer, scored 12 times, you know, and actually looking back at the box scores, he hit in the cleanup spot twice last week. But also is, you know, kind of that typical leadoff guy that you see normally, sprays the ball around, gets on base, finds a way to score. So super impressive work on his behalf this week.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Kennesaw State a little bit too. Again, like maybe they're flying under the radar. I don't know, but they were 13-19 just a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. They've won 7 straight now and they're above 500. And right now they're in the 4th spot in the conference standing. So those guys have been playing really good ball. Harry Kane was our pitcher of the week this week, the right-hander. Threw 7 innings on Friday night. I think gave up 2 runs. 8 strikeouts was one of his career high. But really set the tone, you know, for that series win and series sweep that they had against a really good FIU offense.
Yeah.
So just impressive work from them. You know, they're going to have a tough week this week, traveling to Liberty. And against a Liberty team that's, you know, sitting in eighth right now in the standings, but like it's like they can't catch a break right now. That Liberty squad, they're this weekend, you know, they're, you know, a couple, you know, plays away from possibly sweeping the Bulldogs in Ruston. And then you lose, you know, two out of three. So it's sometimes that's the way baseball go, as Ron Washington would say. But you know, it's turning out to be a super fun season right now. It's, you know, as Lane Burrow said last week, this league is always a gauntlet, even if you look at it as a down year. WKU is still doing their thing. They're 33-7, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think they're ranked 17th in one of the many polls.
Yep.
That we see in baseball.
Baseball America,
I think,
they were up to 17.
Yeah, so. Baseball America, they're at 17, which is the highest ranking ever for a WKU baseball squad. So
it's awesome.
These guys are really fun to watch. Super excited for the series this weekend in Ruston. DBU travels to La Tech. And that's always a doozy. It's a rematch of our championship title game last year in Ruston again. So it'll be, I don't know if we'll see as many fireworks as we saw in that championship game, because I don't know, maybe, I think it was like 18-11 final, but
yeah,
I know DBU scored like 9 in the first, La Tech answered with like 4 or 5, so.
It's about a 5-hour baseball game.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah, buckle up. I don't know if it'll be that way, but it'll be a really good series this weekend, and yeah, we got 4 weeks left of conference play, and never know, never know, but super exciting stuff right now going on in baseball.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, we'll move right into softball. I'll kind of pick up right there off one of the ones you talked about, a big series in La Tech with DBU coming to town. If you find yourself in the Ruston area, you really need to catch yourself at both diamonds this weekend, because the Liberty Lady Flames will also be making their way down to Ruston to play La Tech this weekend. A huge series between first place Liberty and second place La Tech as they kind of duke it out for a couple of the top seeds there as we get closer to the softball tournament. We're, you know, down to our final two weekends of league play. And again, not much has changed since we talked last week and mentioning that there was kind of a logjam in the middle of the standings. Yep. I think the only difference is La Tech has separated themselves a little bit in second place. Now there's a 2-game gap between third and seventh place. And again, as a reminder, only the top 6 teams make the tournament. So there is a lot to be decided over these final 6 conference games. Liberty receiving votes in all 4 major polls going into this week, unfortunately fell out of the top 25 in those 3 polls that they were appearing in, you know, which was tough, but was to be somewhat expected, you know, with them dropping another game this past weekend to Sam Houston. But yeah, I mean, some of the other big storylines coming out of this past weekend, UTEP and WKU both reeling off big weekend sweeps to kind of keep their tournament hopes alive. Yep. They're both kind of sitting there in the mix there between third and seventh, trying to fight for some tournament contention. UTEP had a massive sweep of FIU, who was sitting in a tie for second place. And Bree Garcia put together an absolute monster week at the plate. Another really no-brainer for, you know, CUSA hitter of the week. She hit 600 on the week, slashed 600, 667, and 1.600 on her slugging. Team high 7 RBIs. She had 3 home runs, a grand slam. I mean, she really lit the fire for this UTEP team, again, in a huge series win, a series sweep over FIU. And then on WKU's side, you know, they had New Mexico State coming into town, which, you know, they've been kind of up and down. They've been a little disappointing just in terms of some of our preseason expectations for them. But WKU, again, with their backs against the wall, they're hosting the tournament. Yep. And, you know, obviously you don't want to be hosting a tournament that you're not even playing in. So they said, don't worry, we're still alive. Ended up sweeping the Aggies. Behind, you know, I mentioned Bree Garcia also had a monster week. Kennedy Stinson probably had the next best week behind her. She also had 3 home runs this weekend. And as a freshman, a true freshman, she's doing some amazing things for this WKU lineup. She's really taking charge because there's 7 members of this WKU starting lineup that are freshmen or sophomores. Wow. And so, yeah, there's a lot of youth. You know, Coach Amy Tudor is having to do a lot of great work to you know, build this team together, to get them to gel with such little experience playing together. But Kennedy Stinson really taking the charge in that regard, just hitting the ball extremely well right now. And then, like I said earlier, La Tech separated itself from the pack with a sweep of Kennesaw State. Obviously, the offense was getting it done for her, but really the storyline in this series was starting pitcher Allie Floyd, who just continues to win ball games. It seems like that's all she does, and week in, week out, it's, you know, two more wins for Allie Floyd, and that's how it was this weekend. She threw two shutouts against Kennesaw State. You know, even though they're at the bottom of the standings, there's still a lot of talent in that lineup. And again, to pitch two shutouts in one weekend, I'm sure as a pitcher, a former pitcher, you can definitely appreciate that.
And that's like, that gives your offense so much more confidence in knowing, all right, Allie's taking the mound today, or the circle today. And, you know, just she's going to go do her thing and give us a chance, you know, to put our best effort out there and go win a ball game on the offensive side. So it's impressive. I almost feel like every time we're looking over, you know, nominations for the week, it's like, all right, here's Allie with another, you know, 14 or so innings pitched on the week and a bunch of zeros and strikeout numbers up. So super impressive what she's done down the stretch this season.
Yeah, and obviously extremely efficient in those 14 innings. Only allowed 9 hits on the week, struck out 11, just gave up 4 walks in those 14 innings. So was, you know, really standout for them. Yeah. And just kind of going back to that series this week with Liberty at La Tech, I think that, you know, obviously she's the X factor, because we talked about Abigail Young being the X factor in that same Houston Liberty series last weekend. She went out and pitched a complete game victory against a very talented Liberty lineup. And they're going to need Allie Floyd to do that at least once, if not twice, in this weekend series to potentially pull off an upset and snap Liberty's 15 series conference winning streak. They have been pretty unstoppable since they joined the league. But two more series to watch on the softball side. Battle of 12 and 9 teams for third place between Jack State and Sam Houston. That one will be in Jacksonville, Alabama. A couple teams that, again, you know, we've had a lot of teams that have just been really up and down. You know, they get swept, they sweep a series here and there. These two teams have been kind of no stranger to that. So we'll really find out a lot about these two teams and where they kind of stack up against each other. And then some massive tournament contention implications. Again, with WKU being where they were a week or so ago, they were really needing to win, if not sweep, these last three series to put themselves in a good spot. They've got another test this weekend with, you know, having to go down to South Beach to take on FIU, which has an extra challenge because FIU is 20-6 at home this season. And that includes some early season wins over Iowa State, Indiana, you know, some of the other big teams that they hosted in some of their early non-conference tournaments. But WKU is respectable. They're sitting at 500 in road and neutral site games. So they've been able to, you know, take care of games away from their home turf. But again, the challenge really presents itself this week to at least pick up a win, if not a couple wins, against FIU to stay tournament eligible. So that's what's going on in the Diamond Discourse. I think we agreed on there, but really excited again, like I mentioned earlier, to talk to Justin McLeod from D1 Softball, kind of get his takes on where he thinks the league is at, some of his, you know, where some of his preseason expectations stand here in April, back from when we, you know, we first talked to him. So really excited for this interview. Stick around, and then we'll close up the show after that. All right, joined now, a rare returning guest to the CUSA Insider Podcast. We have Justin McLeod from D1 Softball. Justin, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me back. We had a lot of fun the last time.
Yeah, so much fun. We were like, we got to have him back on. You know, we're right in the thick of conference play, almost towards the end. We only have 2 weeks of conference play left. Conference tournament right around the corner. We're really kind of starting to see some things shape up. So definitely want to, you know, maybe revisit some things we talked about in the, you know, in the preseason, early season, when we last talked. But let's just kind of start off with an overarching question. How would you sum up the 2025 CUSA softball season to this point?
Honestly, I think it fits the same theme as it does pretty much all of college softball this year. Like, I've used a lot of phrases and words and adjectives. I go back to wacky to a certain extent, but I think competitive is probably the best word to use for it. I look at CUSA, and like we all know coming in, we knew what we expected of Liberty. and maybe what we knew expected this team or that team, but like how close the standings are with just a couple of weeks left and some of the series that are still left. Like, it's been such a competitive season. You've got teams that have, you know, they'll lose a series over here and then sweep a series over there. And it's like, okay, what just happened? But I think that really is college softball as a whole this year. But I also think it's really good. Like, I think that's what you want to see. You want to see that competitiveness. You want to see the embodiment of anybody can beat anybody. And I really think CUSA is one of those conferences where we've really seen that this year.
Yeah, and it's definitely a difference. You know, we talked a lot during men's basketball season how, you know, we were kind of right in the same spot, right? Like during basketball season, we were the eighth, ninth best conference in terms of net ranking, and we're sitting right in the same spot in terms of softball. And basketball was so much different because we had, you know, there were some really solid teams there at the top that we knew were good, and it was a little more, that race was a little more open. You know, obviously beyond Liberty, there are some other talented teams, but yeah, like you said, I mean, we've got a two-game separation between third and seventh place, and you see a lot of just weird series where, yeah, one team will do one thing one weekend, go on the road, and look like a completely different team. Who has surprised you the most, whether it's a team or a player from the league so far?
So I look at Louisiana Tech as one. We looked at them at the beginning of the year. We knew, I think expectations wise, they were should be pretty good. They had some struggles in those early couple of weeks, but then they really, I think, have gotten on a little more of a solid footing. You know, drop a game here and there, maybe even drop a series, but I think after the first few weeks, I think they've surprised me a little bit in being able to be a little more consistent in terms of just winning most of their games, so to speak. I really look at a Sam Houston. Like, I look at Sam Houston and what they've been able to do this year, and even in some of their non-con games, I remember that win over Texas State, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. But I look at what they're doing in conference, and they've gotten that consistency a little bit too. They've won some series, won some games. I'm like, okay. I mean, taking a game from Liberty even. Sam Houston probably fits that bill for me the best this year, just from what I thought of him coming in, kind of what I expected from him coming in and what I've seen from him. I've been impressed.
Yeah, absolutely. And then maybe kind of on the flip side, what were some of the expectations that you had coming into the year that have really kind of flipped on their head, whether it positive or negative, I guess?
I mean, I've been a little, I hate to start with a negative, I've been a little disappointed in New Mexico State, just dropped some games that I didn't expect them to drop, to be honest. I go back to like that early inconsistency from a La Tech, where maybe I expect them to be a little better out of conference than they were. I've liked FIU in large part. I think the thing for me with FIU is they haven't necessarily been able to find the direct consistency that you want to get, especially down the stretch in conference play. So that's been something kind of coming in. I didn't really know what to make of an FIU. I've seen some breakout players down there. I look at like a Callie Meredith, like she's done so well. I think the little bit of lacking that consistency a little bit from FIU has kind of maybe caught me by surprise in the latter part of the year, just because I think I thought from the early goings, okay, they're going to be somebody, they're going to be a really formidable opponent. And maybe they've had a little more struggle than I expected. But the thing is, because it's been such a competitive conference, I can't really sit there and say, oh, well, so-and-so has been super disappointing, because like you mentioned, just the closeness of even 3-7 in the standings is like I can't really call anybody super disappointing just because, I mean, one series turns on its head and oh, you're back in third place from seventh. And it's like, okay, then.
Yeah. And I look at FIU and they remind me a lot of New Mexico State from last year, where, you know, we know what the offense can do. The lineup is very potent. They're leaning on a two-way star, very much like Desiree Spearman. You know, last year for New Mexico State, they've got Kennedy Bird, and really the biggest weakness is that pitching piece, right? And they're coming off a really shock, probably one of the most shocking series of the year, where they're getting swept by UTEP and got run ruled in the finale on Saturday. So I think they're doing a lot of great things. We had Coach Mike Myers and Callie on a couple weeks ago just to talk about, obviously, the heartbreaking story with Coach Mike Larrabee and how he was able to step in and really still do some amazing things for that program. Obviously, they're still sitting in a good spot right now to potentially, you know, make a run at the tournament. So, excited to see how they can bounce back from this past weekend, establish a little more consistency as we get closer to the tournament. But really looking at the tournament, You know, we've talked a lot about Liberty, but besides Liberty, who do you see as one of the more well-rounded teams that could do some damage? I know you've already talked about La Tech a couple times, so I don't know if that's your answer right there.
I mean, you anticipated correctly. I was going La Tech first. I think the thing for me with La Tech is when their offense has really shown out this year, they've really shown out. They've had a couple of games where the offense is just kind of lackluster, if you will. But when their offense gets going, their offense really gets going. And I think when you get into tournament time, when you're playing however many games in the span of a couple of days against different opponents, that's the thing that I think can make the biggest difference. You know, the old adage is pitching and defense wins ball games, and that's still the case. Like, you still have to have a pitcher. Luckily, Tech has Allie Floyd. She may not pitch every inning. She may not be able to pitch every game because it is so many games in so few days. But when I look at the offense, a team that has an offense that can ride momentum, that can score and then score some more, that does come into play during conference tournament more than it does maybe even during the regular season because, okay, new opponent. Well, if you can keep hitting, if you can stay hot, if you're seeing pitches well, great. That's going to help you. So that's what I've seen a lot of from Tech this year. So Tech would be my first line of defense there. I mean, outside of Liberty, Tech is a place I'd look. But I'm just going to say, I actually kind of have FIU as maybe one of my sleepers in that category just because we've seen what FIU can do, and we've seen them beat good teams. Like, I go back to a midweek win. I think it was over FAU in the March, maybe. That's a very good FAU team. They played them in Miami, and they'd already lost once, and FIU had already lost once, and they came out and played a great game, limited the scoring, did what they had to do. So, like, I look at something like that, and I'm like, okay, that's an FIU team that chips are down. I don't know that I'm betting against them either. So that's kind of my early sleeper pick right now. Still 2 weeks to go. A lot can change, but that's kind of my sleeper pick right now.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I think, yeah, key for La Tech, definitely going to be hitting. And can they get enough runs on the board? Knowing that going into that tournament, Allie Floyd's going to be pitching at least 20 innings that week, right? And so you got to give them a chance to let some other girls eat up some innings and help her out for sure. Who's a team or a player that, I know we've kind of talked about a lot of teams, a lot of players. Who's someone that you don't feel like is getting enough recognition?
So I'm going to actually go all the way to the bottom of the conference standings, and I'm going to pull Emma Friel from Kennesaw. I really like Emma Friel from Kennesaw. Obviously, Kennesaw not having the kind of year you want to have, a lot of struggles there. But I like what I've seen from Friel. Like, I don't want to say take stats off the board by any stretch. But when I watch Emma Friedel pitch, I'm impressed. I think she's a really solid arm. Again, the record, probably not what you want it to be for sure. But and at a bottom of the conference team, probably is not where you expected me to go with that. But I think Emma Friedel also kind of falls into that category of what you were talking about earlier, maybe somebody who's not getting the attention. I get it. Team struggle. Stats aren't good. I like Emma Friedel. I like what she's made of. I think she's got some good moxie, and I like when I see her in the circle.
When you're evaluating CUSA as a whole, do you kind of really see this year as being the year that, you know, our champion or whoever we end up sending to the tournament finally breaks through that regional round? You know, whether it's Liberty, whether it's a team like La Tech, who we've already seen has the capability to be a giant killer this year.
I mean, I think the potential for that is there. I think any team outside of probably a group of 20 is always going to be an uphill battle there. And that's not just the Power 5 versus the non-Power 5. Like, I think there's a lot of Power 5 teams or Power 4 that still have that uphill battle. But I see the potential there. You mentioned La Tech's already knocked off a couple of big teams early on, knocked off Oklahoma State in the opening week of the season, knocked off Auburn and Huntsville. That's a couple of big wins. And Auburn was trending so high upward at that point. So, like, they knocked off Auburn at their close to their peak. I look at week 3 of the season, I guess it was. I look at Liberty, we know what Liberty's made of, right? Like, we've seen it. We've seen the moxie. Last year, you make it to a regional final. I think it's an uphill battle no matter what. And like we've talked about the pitching depth at La Tech, like, with one pitcher, it's going to be an even more of an uphill battle. But I see the recipe. I see a La Tech team that knows how to win and is cool under pressure. Like, that's key. Like, they're cool against big teams, the big names, the uniforms on the other side don't scare them. That's key. If you're going to pull an upset in the postseason, that's incredibly key. And I look at Liberty, and Liberty's Liberty, right? Like, Liberty's Liberty. And I think Liberty's always going to be in that category of being able to possibly pull something like that off.
All right, so we'll end with Kola. But we've got probably one of the biggest series of the year coming up, Liberty at La Tech this weekend. What's your prediction?
Ooh, I should have known you were going to pin me down to a prediction. I'm going to go Liberty, but I don't think anybody sweeps. I think if you're talking about three competitive games, maybe Liberty pulls it out at the end of one or two of them. I think Liberty wins the series. I think Tech pulls a game. And I think all three games are probably decently competitive.
All right. I like it. And then, all right, last one. If you had to build an all CUSA starting lineup, who is your first pick off the board?
Oh, I'm just really glad you didn't say fill out the lineup here.
No. I don't know if we have enough time to really dive through all that. That'd be way too hard.
So I go back and forth between a couple, but I'm probably going to say Rachel Roop. I think that's a safe pick. It's probably the safe pick. Spearman, obviously, was somebody that pops into mind. But I just like Roop's been so good, so solid, so consistent for so long. I think she's the 1-1 in something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy going through, you know, where she ranks among active career leaders, and it's like 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, you know, just in all these different categories. So obviously putting together an incredible resume. I'm sure she's extra hungry to do some really special things down the stretch here and heading into the postseason. I know we talked right before we started the recording here. You are towards the end of a very, very long road trip. How's it been going so far? How's the season been for you, and where are you going to this week?
Season's been great, actually. I've gotten to see a lot of good softball. I couldn't even tell you. I think I'm close to probably 25, 30 stadiums. I've seen a couple, 100, 150 games. Like, it's a lot of softball, and I love it. Don't get me wrong. Last week of an 8-week road trip right now. I'm in Oklahoma. I've got Texas, Oklahoma this weekend. And I did throw some Conference USA softball in there. Had a game at La Tech, had some Liberty early on in the season. So long road trip, but I've had some CUSA thrown in there too. And then I'm home for 2 days, and then I'm on the road for another couple of weeks after that.
Oof, such is the grind of, you know, May and college softball, but, really appreciate everything you do. Obviously your coverage, your appreciation for Conference USA. I know we'll be talking as we get closer to the conference tournament and to regionals. Best of luck with the end of your road trip here and, for the rest of the season for you.
Thanks so much, man. It's always fun.
Thanks again to Justin McLeod for joining the CUSA Insider Podcast, and to Eric Jones for helping fill in. I know we were kind of having to move around a little bit with Sarah's unfortunate sickness coming on today. We hope she's feeling better soon. But thank you again for joining another episode of the CUSA Insider Podcast, the official podcast of Conference USA. As a reminder, you can find us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod. Continue to watch us if that's where you choose to enjoy the podcast on YouTube, or continue listening to the podcast on Spotify, Amazon, or Apple Music. We hope you guys have a great week. This is Josh Jonas signing off.